It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Wednesday morning, all. This is Sandy Rios in the morning, except without Sandy this morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Always a pleasure to do so, because I think Sandy has the best audience, radio audience around. And boy, I tell you, it's a lot of fun doing this show, because it's early morning, and you get to get caught up as you're driving into work this morning on all that's happening. And the big news today is another chapter in the Democrat impeachment circus. And folks, there's no other way to describe it, is going to happen today. As you may be aware, yesterday, the House Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff, the chairman there, released a 300-page report outlining their belief that, indeed, the president has committed crimes so bad that he deserves to be impeached. And that was in advance of today's next chapter. Things go to the House Judiciary Committee, where the chairman there is Congressman Gerald Nadler, Democrat from New York. Now, here's the way, and here's what you're going to see today, folks. Remember, the president, President Trump's in England, NATO meeting there, meeting with heads of state to talk about NATO affairs. And the normal practice through the years has been when the president leaves the country on the country's business, these kinds of things don't happen. You don't criticize the president because he's representing the United States. That doesn't, of course, that doesn't matter to the Democrats at all. I really do believe they hate this man so much that any kind of protocol, whether written or tradition, that has been there in the past, showing respect for a president, is completely gone. They just hate him so much. And they've hated him since day one. Impeachment has been on their minds from day one, from the day he was inaugurated, because their candidate, Hillary Clinton, didn't win. Donald Trump did, and they just didn't accept that at all. Now, here's what's going to happen today. Here's what the Democrats have done. What you're going to see on TV today is the Democrats have put together a hearing, and what you're going to hear from is three Donald Trump haters. They are law professors who, through the past, some distancing back several years, have all stated publicly how much they dislike Donald Trump. So you're going to have three of those law professors. Republicans only get one. Now, who are these professors that the Democrats have chosen? Well, one is Noah Feldman. He's a Harvard law professor who wrote a column in October headlined, "Trump quid pro quo is unconstitutional." Except there's no evidence of that. And the Ukrainian president is on record repeatedly confirming there was no quid pro quo, but that doesn't matter to Noah Feldman. Another lawyer that the Democrats are bringing forward is Michael Gerhard, a University of North Carolina law professor, who penned a November column declaring that the impeachment inquiry was, quote, fully legitimate, and that Trump was, quote, trashing the Constitution. All right, so that's two. Number three for the Democrats is Pamela Garland. She's a Stanford University law professor who served in Obama's Justice Department and is affiliated with the liberal-oriented American Constitution Society. Now, Garland, and this is according to Greg Jarrett of Fox News, has been critical of Trump from the onset of his presidency. In fact, she signed a group letter a month before the president was even sworn in, predicting that he would fail to take his constitutional oath seriously. And she demanded that Trump recant his position on racial discrimination, immigration, and abortion, and other issues. His refusal to do so has likely informed her opinion that he somehow now has violated the Constitution. So that's the three that the Democrats have chosen. They've already made up their mind about Donald Trump. They have disliked Donald Trump from the get-go. The Republicans get one professor coming in today, Jonathan Turley, a George Washington University law professor. He's the only witness for the Republicans. Now, Turley has observed that the record still lacks direct evidence of any quid pro quo. He wrote that the, quote, the current bribery and obstruction claims are forced and unsupported, and said Democrats are presenting the thinnest record and fastest impeachment investigation in history. Now, let's do a little bit of history right here. I mentioned that the chairman of this House Judiciary Committee is Democrat from New York, Gerald Nadler. Let me take you back a little bit to 1998. That was around the period of the Bill Clinton impeachment. Gerald Nadler gets up in public, and this is what he thinks an impeachment should be or should not be. Have a listen. This is 1998, Gerald Nadler.
The effect of impeachment is to overturn the popular will of the voters. We must not overturn an election and remove a president from office except to defend our system of government or our constitutional liberties against a dire threat. And we must not do so without an overwhelming consensus of the American people. There must never be a narrowly voted impeachment or an impeachment supported by one of our major political parties and opposed by the other.
Listen to that last one again. There must never be an impeachment effort unless there are people from both parties that want this. There must never be. That's what Gerald Nadler, the chairman of today's House Judiciary Committee, that's what he said in 1998. And just compare what was going on in 1998 with Bill Clinton. Lied about his affair with Monica Lewinsky. That was obvious. But now here we are. The Democrats are full force ahead. We must impeach this president because what? During a phone call with the newly elected leader of the Ukraine, he simply said he wanted corruption investigations to continue. And by the way, what was going on with then Vice President Joe Biden back then when he was vice president and his son Hunter Biden all of a sudden became a board director of the board of directors of a Ukraine energy company and was making tens of thousands of dollars every month. Remember all that? Now, the Democrats want you to forget about all that. That was about, I think, about 8 seconds of that conversation that President Trump had with a newly elected president of the Ukraine back in July. And because of that, we are going through this impeachment process led solely by the Democrats. I want you to play, Adam, if you wouldn't please, play that clip again of Nadler. And just remember this clip today, folks, if you happen to be watching the circus that you're going to see on TV from the Nadler-led House Judiciary Committee. Nadler in 1998.
The effect of impeachment is to overturn the popular will of the voters. We must not overturn an election and remove a president from office except to defend our system of government or our constitutional liberties against a dire threat. And we must not do so without an overwhelming consensus of the American people. There must never be a narrowly voted impeachment or an impeachment supported by one of our major political parties and opposed by the other.
Now, here's the other interesting aspect. So, Gerald Nadler, 1998, impeachment must be driven by a consensus of both parties, not led by one party in particular. But the other thing he said there was very interesting, that the American people want this. Have you looked at the polls lately about where the American people feel about this Democrat impeachment process? They don't want it. They've lost interest in it. Some of the House Intelligence Committee hearings early on had a decent audience, but that audience just petered off. Now, I called it a circus a minute ago. Why don't you have a listen to this? Sean Spicer, the former White House spokesman, was on Fox and Friends earlier this morning, and he spoke with Brian Kilmeade, one of the hosts there. To my point of this being a circus, are you ready for this, folks? The Democrats held a practice session yesterday. A practice session with Democrats being called in to play the role of two of the Republicans that sit on the House Judiciary Committee, Jim Jordan and Doug Collins. So they hold a practice, a six-hour practice session yesterday. Cut number two.
So, Sean, yesterday they had a six-hour prep session where they had people come in and play the role of Jim Jordan and Doug Collins. Wow. How do you prepare for two people to ask questions of somebody that's not there? I mean, what do they plan on? Are they trying to anticipate possible tactics of two people who want to ask contradictory questions?
Yeah, I mean, this goes back to this whole idea of it being a show. They recognize that people like Doug Collins and Jim Jordan are going to come in swinging and cut holes through the arguments, challenge their witnesses, and that they want to make sure that they think through all of that, because the last couple episodes at the plate of this show through the Intelligence Committee did not go well. And so clearly, I think that Nadler and company, and probably directed by Speaker Pelosi, are trying to recognize how do we, if this is all a show, which right. It is, to get the American people to side with us, how do we try to blunt some of these arguments and criticisms that Jordan and Collins in particular are going to come with?
It is theater, folks, and that's what it is. And everybody knows that now. I think the American people are catching on to all of this. And it is shameful that the country is being put through this. But this is going to continue. And by the way, here's an interesting little factoid that came out overnight as well. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was asked about the possibility as to whether the House will vote on impeachment before Christmas, and she said, highly unlikely. Now, here's what I think is going on with inside the walls of those Democratic Party meetings. They know the American people are fed up with this. They also know that if this gets shoved up to the Senate, which is the procedure in the impeachment. The Senate is the kind of courtroom, the trial, where the trial takes place. There has to be 67 senators who vote in favor of impeachment. And they know that that's not going to happen. There's not one Republican, not one. Even some of those who have, you know, voiced opposition to President Trump, talking about Republican senators, people like Susan Collins of Maine, and a few others, but not even them have said that they would vote to impeach. In fact, I think you will find that if it ever gets to the Senate, I think there will be Democrats who will even say, no, there's not enough evidence here. The other problem, and this is why I think Nancy Pelosi is putting off any kind of vote in the House, because there's a bunch of Democrats, obviously, that are up for re-election next year in very vulnerable areas. And when I say vulnerable, I'm talking about areas where a Democrat won in last year's midterms, but very narrowly in districts that Donald Trump won in 2016. So you got a bunch of Democrats that are getting very nervous about next year's election, and very nervous about the fact that they know the American people think this is nothing but a charade, a witch hunt against a duly elected president. The Democrats are aware of that, and that's why it's going to be very interesting to see how they play this out over the next several weeks. Because the last thing they want, folks, is things to go to the Senate Judiciary Committee. The chairman there is Lindsey Graham. He has already said he'd like to hear from the so-called whistleblower. He also would like to subpoena maybe even Adam Schiff, the head of the House Intelligence Committee. Could get very interesting for the Democrats, but I really do believe maybe it's not going to go that far at all. All right, much more ahead on this Wednesday morning. Sandy Rios in the morning, Fred Jackson sitting in. We're going to take a little break. Be right back with much more news.
So, what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500 bucks. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry with 400,000 members. They've shared over $2 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. And with MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And that's a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Ike White, Senior Advisor to the Undersecretary of Science. Mr. White works toward the safe cleanup from nuclear weapons development and nuclear energy research. Psalm 115, verse 16, reminds us that the earth shall be cared for as it is a gift from God. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Ike White as he works to clean and restore our lands and environment. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. This Christmas season, send a prayer or Christmas greeting to President Trump and his family. Your message will be delivered straight to the Oval Office. It's fun, easy, and it's free. Learn how at pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of Champions for Christ by texting GIVE to 839-858.
You won't find I Saw Daddy Kissing Santa Claus on the Hallmark Channel this year, and that's a mighty big problem for some folks in the LGBT community. The family-friendly television network is under fire from activists for a lack of diversity in their Christmas programming. Specifically, they want Hallmark to don some gay apparel. Yahoo published a story noting that Hallmark and Lifetime have 70 new holiday movies, and none feature a main character who is either LGBT or Q. LGBTQ Nation got right to the point in a recent editorial. They say that Hallmark and Lifetime need to produce holiday romance movies that feature gay characters. Instinct Magazine also joined the call for gay Christmas movies. They say there are too many programs about straight white people. Hallmark has not committed one way or the other, seeing how they are in the business of entertaining, not indoctrinating. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. One of the stories we dealt with in our news service here back a few weeks ago was a story about the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill resolving a federal anti-Semitism case with the U.S. Department of Education that alleged the university discriminated against students of Jewish descent at a conference in March. The complaint was filed in April following a controversy over a Palestinian rapper who was invited to be part of that conference. And he did a performance called Conflict Over Gaza, People, Politics, and Possibilities. That was the name of the conference. The video that they showed of this Palestinian rapper was called Mama, I Fell in Love with a Jew. Now, you might say, well, where was the anti-Semitism in it? Well, I watched that video, and throughout the video, the woman, who was supposedly a Jew, was dressed in military garb and was shown pointing guns at this Palestinian, and the Palestinian was kneeling down with a blindfold and handcuffs, and it was quite obvious that it was very anti-Jewish. And the U.S. Department of Education got involved, as I recollect, because they helped fund this conference. And fortunately, there was a congressman who spoke up, George Holding, to put an end to this kind of nonsense. Now, the UNC Chapel Hill has said it's going to revise its approach to all of this, its discrimination standards. But you know what? Here's the problem, folks. This is just one incident. Many incidents of anti-Semitism, particularly in our education system, have been arising. And I am so thankful that there are groups like Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, a group based in Franklin, Tennessee, that is a watchdog for this kind of thing and calling them out. And the group's founder and president is Lori Cardoso Moore, and she joins us this morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Fred. I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for having me on the program this morning.
You know, Lori, I heard you speak at a conference in the Minneapolis area back a few months ago, and keeping watch over anti-Semitism, incidents of anti-Semitism in our education system is one of the things that you're very involved with. Tell us about your work in that area.
Absolutely. The mission of the organization is to educate Christians about our biblical responsibility to stand with our Jewish brethren and defend the state of Israel against the rise of global anti-Semitism. And, of course, we accomplish that mission by producing award-winning documentary films and television programs that broadcast into 200 nations, reaching over 2 billion potential viewers. Our audience, our target audience, is predominantly Christian, but we do have members of the Jewish community and, believe it or not, some Muslims who actually tune in and watch this program. You know, this is an important issue for Christians to understand. I think we all can agree, Fred, that we are living in the last days. Mm. And I was reading in the book of Luke the other day in chapter 1 where Zacharias was talking about how God, he was praising God because he had lifted up a horn of salvation for Israel, and that he would destroy Israel's enemies and destroy those who hate her. And if there was ever a definition in the Bible, in the New Testament, to substantiate condemnation of anti-Semitism within Christianity, it is that verse. There's many verses to go to point to throughout Scripture, but the problem, Fred, is that too often Christians are not educated about this issue. And we produced a documentary called The Forgotten People, Christianity and the Holocaust, because a lot of Christians don't understand why the Jews won't have anything to do with Christians, why they're very leery of Christian support. Because historically, it has been the Christians for the last 2,000 years who have persecuted the Jewish people. If we look back to the early church fathers, the Gentile church fathers like Marcion, Ignatius, Tertullian, even Martin Luther, we can see some of the anti-Semitic writings that they wrote about the Jews, which have been used to incite pogroms throughout history. We saw it here recently with Rick Wiles, who has been putting out anti-Semitic videos, which are completely outrageous.
Yeah, you just mentioned Rick Wiles. We did a story on this just a couple of days ago. He's with a group, I think it's called True News. I think they're based in Florida. And I saw a quote, and I'm quoting here, according to reports in Christian Post, and also Dr. Michael Brown did a column on this. This is what Wiles said: that's the way Jews work. They are deceivers. They plot. They lie. They do whatever they have to do to accomplish their political agendas. When Jews take over a country, they kill millions of Christians. This is you mentioned Rick Wiles saying this. I could not believe that he said this in public.
Yeah, no, I know. He's either lost his mind or he really believes this. And it's frightening that there is somebody who calls himself a Christian or a believer that would incite such violence. Because what this has done historically, if you look at the pattern of words that he used and how he phrased those words, it is that same pattern that has been used historically to mobilize Christians to initiate pogroms against Jews. We saw it more recently here in 1938, the Night of Broken Glass, Kristallnacht in Germany, where we saw the same type of hatred spewing out of supposed Christians, because, of course, Germany, even though, you know, Hitler, we all recognize that Hitler was an evil man. But think about Germany at the time. Germany was an educated Christian nation that elected this man, that put this man in office. That should make all of us very concerned, very fearful, especially in the United States, because if you look at the parallels between Nazi Germany during their time and the United States being an educated Christian nation, we saw where the Reformation movement came out of Germany. Look at the United States, how we send missionaries to the world to bring the gospel message. There's similarities there, and we have to be very careful as Christians. We have to stand on God's word. We can't stand on somebody's doctrines and traditions like what Rick Wiles is doing. This is a very disconcerting time in our history. And the fact that, Fred, we are alive, that God has allowed us to be here at this time, we have to stand on biblical truth. You know, there's another scripture in the book of Obadiah. Many of your listeners may be familiar with it. It's one chapter, but he goes into state that God told the prophet that in the last days, he was going to wipe out the descendants of Edom because they stood by while their brother Jacob, Israel, was held in captivity and they did nothing. We as Christians, in this hour, when we see the rise of global anti-Semitism, we cannot be silent. We must speak up, because what happens to Israel will happen to the church. And Christians have to remember, Paul was very clear. We were grafted into the commonwealth of Israel. Those, if we look at Ephesians chapter 2, if we look at Galatians 3:29, if you are in Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, the same promise that God made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants forever, was made to those of us who graft themselves in, who embrace the Jewish Messiah and receive him as Lord and Savior. We are grafted into that nation. Therefore, we become partakers. We become members or citizens, if you will, of the Commonwealth of Israel.
We're talking with Lori Cardoza Moore. She's the founder and president of the Christian Pro-Israel Group, Proclaiming Justice to the Nations. Lori, I want to return for a few moments to anti-Semitism in our education system. And I think there's a lot of Christian parents that are listening that are not aware of the extent of anti-Semitism, not only at the university level, but even in some of our public schools, high school levels. And I know that one of the things that you've been busy about is looking at high school texts, history texts, and those sorts of things to kind of ferret out the anti-Semitism that's in there.
Right, right. Well, most of your audience would probably agree that what we're seeing on college campuses is outrageous. But if they were to only see what was being done in the school down the street or the public school that their children are going to, and it's not necessarily just the public schools, because we have even seen Christian private schools who have adopted this anti-Semitic curriculum because that's what the state is using. So in order to keep their expenses down, they purchased the same curriculum published by Pearson Publishers that public schools purchase. And they say, I hear this all the time from teachers and administrators from Christian schools. They say, oh, no, we have Christian teachers who are teaching this. They're going to make sure they teach this correctly. Well, we've got Christians who are sitting in the pews like Rick Wiles who think that the Jews are evil. And if you think about it, even the Christian teachers that are coming out of public teaching universities are being indoctrinated with this propaganda. It all started in Williamson County, Tennessee, back in 2012, when a Christian parent, one of our PJTN watchmen, and your listeners can go to pjtn.org to get involved and learn more about searching out their textbooks. But we had a Christian parent who her children were homeschooled like ours were during the elementary. She did it through middle school. We did it through partial middle school. But her son was in his first year of public education, ninth grade, in a local high school in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, Fred. Mm. And her son came home, evangelical Christian family, and said, Mom, who has legitimate rights to the land of Israel? Mm. And she said to him, what does the Bible say? And he said, no, Mom, I know what the Bible says. He said, tell me the truth. Who really has legitimate rights to that land? This is coming out of the mouth of a kid who was homeschooled, who was raised in an evangelical, biblical family. Our kids went to Bible study together with a homeschool program. This is a kid who his first year, he hadn't been in school a couple of months. It was 2 months, and he was already questioning the legitimacy of the Word of God. And when we looked into this textbook, the parent called me. She said, you'll never believe what we're teaching our children in Williamson County Schools, the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. You would never think that school board members would have voted to allow this garbage into our Christian community, even though it's a public school system. And she brought the curriculum over. There was a quote that legitimized Palestinians blowing themselves up in a Jerusalem restaurant because they were waging a war against Israeli government policies and army actions. We went through the process in that community of trying to remove that textbook. We were met with resistance from the administration, from the superintendent of the schools, from the teachers, from the administrators, from the textbook publishers. And we ended up mobilizing the community to show up at a school board meeting. And we told the parent, or we told the school board members that night, because we had standing room only. We went to the parents that were listening to conservative talk shows. We produced commercials for that Christian audience. We told the parents on that conservative talk show through our spots, do you know what your children are learning? We gave them examples. That night when the school board was to meet to vote to keep the textbook or remove it, we had standing room only. And parents lined up one after the other and testified before their school board and told them to remove this textbook. It does not reflect our values and what we believe. And when I got up, I said, this is an election year. If you do not remove the textbook, we're going to remove you from office. And you know what, Fred? That was April. By August election time, the six school board members that were up for re-election were removed, and we replaced them with local citizens in their place.
Wow. Well, Laura, I think you just pointed out what we have to do. Number one, be vigilant about this. Find out what your kids are being taught. But also, you took it to the next step. Didn't just complain about it. You did something about it. Hey, listen, we only have a few seconds left. Tell us again, if people want to get involved, get information, where do they need to go?
Absolutely. We need parents to make their kids bring their history and geography textbooks home. Go to pjtn.org, email us, and let us know what you find. We want to help you. We're working in states all over the country, helping parents fight the battle in their local neighborhoods.
Laurie Cardoza Moore, founder and president of Proclaiming Justice to the Nation. Appreciate you so much, what you're doing. We'll be praying for you.
God bless you, Fred. Thank you all so much for having me on the program.
Absolutely. Laurie Cardoza Moore. I'll tell you what, I've been able to attend some of her meetings up there in the Nashville area, and she says it right. We have to find out, and I'm talking to Christian parents here. You need to find out what your kids are being taught. And sadly, as she also noted, this kind of anti-Semitism is raising its ugly head in our churches, folks. There are churches that are teaching that Israel today, what happened in 1948, the reformation of that nation, has nothing to do with God. Nothing to do. And that the Israelis have no right to their land. Folks, number one, know your Bible and what the Bible says about the Jewish people in Israel. But number two, be vigilant about it because the enemy is strong. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840 is the number to call. We'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear your reaction to the latest Democrat impeachment effort. The circus returns today to Washington, D.C. But also, this threat of anti-Semitism in our education system and sadly in our churches. We'd like to hear your views on that. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred sitting in. We're back after this break.
And who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Esther, a young girl, became queen of the Persian Empire when Israel was subject to Persian rule. A wicked man named Haman tried to get the king to exterminate all Jews. Esther, a Jew herself, was queen when this genocidal conspiracy was brought to bear. But her uncle Mordecai put her royal position in perspective. Perhaps God made you queen just for this very moment, to intervene on behalf of the Jewish people. Like Esther, perhaps God gave you the platform, position, and influence you have for this very moment, to stand against darkness. Perhaps you were born for such a time as this.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is Pastor Jim Scudder, Jr. for In Grace Radio. We're excited to announce that we're now on American Family Radio every Sunday morning at 8:30 Central Time. You'll want to join us for In Grace because we're going to open up the Word of God, preach it, and teach it, and we're going to bring you some pretty interesting programming from the Grand Canyon to Under the Water in Key Largo, even the Ark in Northern Kentucky. Join us this Sunday at 8:30.
Christmas, the time of year we gather together to celebrate the birth of Jesus. We hang our decorations, cook our food, and wrap our gifts. Speaking of gifts, the AFA Naughty or Nice retailer list is now available. So as you do your shopping, you can make sure you support those that support Christmas. Visit AFA.net to find the AFA Naughty or Nice retailer list. And make sure you keep Christ in Christmas.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Paul Anderson won the gold medal in powerlifting at the 1956 Melbourne Olympics and became a global celebrity as the strongest man in the world. He used his public profile to start the Paul Anderson Youth Home, a Christ-centered facility designed to give troubled youth an introduction to Christ and put them on a path to a better life. The very first donor to the youth home was Truett Cathy, who became the founder of Chick-fil-A. Truett Cathy was a member of the youth home board for decades. But under the leadership of Dan Cathy, Chick-fil-A threw the Paul Anderson Youth Home under the train in favor of an organization that aims to convince young boys that transgenderism and sexual confusion is perfectly okay. Dan Cathy has dishonored the memory of his own father and has honored that which is an abomination in the eyes of the Lord.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Australia, it seems, has become the proverbial canary in the mineshaft. With each passing day, the government and people of one of our most important allies are coming to grips with, and in the process warning the rest of us about, the true imperialistic and totalitarian character of communist China. Australia's security services and citizenry are learning hard lessons about the cumulative effects of decades of affording the Chinese an open door down under. The communists in Beijing have fully exploited the resulting abundant opportunities to penetrate deeply the resource-rich Australian economy, media, academic institutions, and government. Now, as the Aussies have begun to take corrective action, they and the rest of the world are also getting a taste of Chinese retribution. Like so many, experiencing the PRC's growing coercion, Australians must find in America a formidable, engaged, and countervailing friend. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. 888-589-8840, the number to call. We're talking about the latest episode of the Democrat efforts to impeach the president. It's going to occur today in the House Judiciary Committee. And they'll be hearing, the Democrats have called in three professors who really don't like President Trump. They have a history of it, but you're going to see testimony from them. The Republicans get one professor, law professor, to give testimony as to the illegitimacy of this effort to impeach the president. So be watching for that. Like to hear your comments on that, but also our guest a few moments ago, Lori Cardoso Mora, proclaiming justice to the nation about the epidemic of anti-Semitism in this country. It occurs in TV programs. It's occurring on our university campuses and, sadly, in our churches today. A lot of parents aren't aware of it, and they need to be. And I'd like to hear your comments on that. But before we go to our phones, I want to let you know that Mikey Weinstein, who is the founder and president of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, which was really, he's anti-Christian anything in our military, is up to it again. You know, for the past 20 years, members of our military have been able to wear dog tags with Bible verses on them. And favorite Bible verses, it's been their choice. There's been a company that has been doing this. The company is Shields of Strength. Well, somebody complained, and now the military has said, we're not going to allow this anymore. We're not going to allow our members of the military, on the back of their dog tags, to put scripture verses that are important to them. Remember, our military is fighting for these freedoms, folks. But now Mikey Weinstein, one guy comes along, and the military once again caves. Well, this morning, Kenny Vaughn, who was the founder of Shields of Strength, along with Mike Beria, a lawyer with First Liberty Institute, they were on Fox and Friends to talk about this. Cut number four.
Okay, Kenny, tell us what happened.
Well, we've been making Shields of Strength for 20 years. We were really embraced by the military. I mean, they reached out to us initially, and I'm speechless. I don't even know what to say what happened, except that a complaint was made, and we were told that we can no longer do it.
But, Mike, this is voluntary. I mean, people in the military can choose to put this Bible verse on. No one's being forced to do it.
That's right. It's absolutely outrageous that all because of an activist group complaint, the Army has told Shields of Strength they can't put inspirational, motivational, and encouraging scripture verses or even just Bible references on these dog tags. And you're exactly right, Ainsley, that nobody, if they want to have one, they should be able to have one. Mm-hmm. Nobody who puts their life on the line defending our freedoms should not be able to enjoy those freedoms themselves, and yet that's what we see happening here. And I should add, all because of a complaint, and in the email that the Army sent to Kenny, they said it was because of the negative press that they received that they were doing this to him.
That's unbelievable. The United States Army caves because they get negative press on this issue. Complaint from one person, Mikey Weinstein, and they cave to it. So after 20 years, our military members can't put their favorite verse, remember, strictly voluntary, nobody's making anybody do anything, on the back of their dog tags. Folks, get a hold of your members of Congress about this. This is an outrage that our military would cave to this kind of thing, that would cave to someone and cause our military people, for the things that they fight for, now they can't do. It's absolutely ridiculous. Get in touch with your member of Congress, please, about this. All right, let's go to our phones, and let's go first to Fayetteville, Arkansas. And Joe is on the line. I want to say good morning to Joe. Joe, are you with us?
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I wanted to talk about why I think the Democrats figure they can get a conviction for impeachment in the Senate.
Okay.
That's this. I think they figure that they've got multi-billionaires with unlimited money on their side, so they'll be able to bribe some of the senators that are reluctant to vote for impeachment. I think they figure that they have got the intelligence agencies with dirt on all the senators on their side, so that some of the senators that are reluctant, they'll be able to blackmail them into voting for impeachment. And I think they figure they've got the media on their side, so that some of the other senators that might be reluctant to vote for impeachment, they can dig it, they can make up dirt on them and start pounding it in the media and give them very, very bad publicity. And that they figure they'll get that by this combination of bad publicity, bribery, and blackmail, they'll be able to pull enough senators over to their side to get a conviction for impeachment in the Senate. I think that's their plan.
Absolutely. I think I would agree with you, and thanks for your comment, Joe. I think I would agree with you when it comes to the media, for sure. Everybody knows they're on the side of the Democrats. There's no question about that. I'm not sure whether at this point your other elements would really be true, that there's so many, you know, the FBI has dirt on all these Republicans and Democrats. I'm not sure about that. I think we're close to an election, and I think these lawmakers, particularly in the Senate, are very much aware of where the American people are on the issue of impeaching President Trump. And as we've been talking about, the latest polls show that the American people do not want this. In fact, here's what's really interesting, if you haven't heard this yet, that the latest polling amongst African Americans and Hispanics, a growing number of them support President Trump. The economy is, for whatever reason, a lot of people say it's the economy, and that's fine. But also, I think there is a realization that this president, you may not like his personality, you may not even like some of his policies, but what's going on with the Democrats, this president's being treated unfairly. And so I think there's enough decency out there, even, you know, Democrats, Republicans, to say, and also there's the fact that if the Democrats were successful, this sets a very dangerous precedent going forward for the next Democrat president, Republican president. If a president can be so easily impeached based on false information, based on a complaint from one party, then this sets a very dangerous precedent down the road. So I think for all of those reasons, I don't believe the impeachment has a chance should it get as far as the Senate, and that's not a guarantee yet because I think there's reluctance on the part of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to push it up that far. We may see the, and this has been suggested, the censure option being used. In other words, there's just a vote saying, well, what the president did was bad, but it's not impeachable. We'll have to wait and see on that. All right, let's go to Hickory, North Carolina, and Claude. Good morning, Claude.
Morning.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I got a couple of comments. Number one is, way back in the very beginning, if the establishment in Washington would have, Republicans especially, would have recognized the Tea Party, I think we'd have a whole lot less of this harassment going on. Number two, CNN is on the basic bundle of stations you get from on cable, either cable or satellite. If you get everybody gets CNN, whether they want it or not, and if you get anything else like Fox or any of the other things, you have to pay more money to get another bundle.
Mm.
And I think that's where a lot of people don't have anything but the basic bundle of local stations and CNN, so they get a lot of negative stuff. And I think another thing is, if they go ahead and turn this impeachment thing over to the Senate, I think Mitch McConnell will allow it to be. I think they'll just toss it out. I think it'll be over with, I hope.
Yes, sir, and you're certainly right about CNN. They are, as far as the president goes. By the way, you may or may not have heard that Congressman Devin Nunes of California, he was the ranking member on the House Intelligence Committee. He has now launched a lawsuit against CNN for $400 and some million. And the issue is this, is that CNN has been reporting that Devin Nunes met with Ukrainian officials to allegedly get negative information about Vice President Joe Biden, former Vice President Joe Biden, and his son Hunter. And Devin Nunes, they even put a date on it. It was 2018 in Vienna, Austria. And Devin Nunes says, and has provided evidence that he was never there, never had the conversation with Ukrainian leader. So he is now suing them. I think it's $475 million that he's suing them for. Don't know how far that will get, but Devin Nunes wants to go to court and wants them to provide evidence as to where they got their story, and he wants a full retraction. So be interesting to see where that goes. All right, let's head to Ohio this morning, and Tommy. Tommy, welcome to the program.
Hi, I just wanted to have a comment there about these lying Democrats, and our country is no longer free anymore because we can have one person, one homosexual, say that he's against something, and they'll make a law that nobody's allowed to say it again. Mm. They're taking away our right to speech. They're taking away our right to carry guns, and I can't even go out and work in the world anymore because of the anger that has built up inside of me.
Mm.
And I'm a Christian. I believe in God, and I believe in Jesus Christ, and I pray every day.
Yes.
But I live in sin because of this world we live in. But I'm a believer, and I can't handle the churches. I can't handle the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the lawmakers want to tell someone else what to do. It's ridiculous. It's our country has lost it. I don't think it's going to recover. I really don't.
Well, Tom, we appreciate you, and I know there are a lot of folks that share your frustration. But folks, here's what we have to remember. God is still on the throne. He is still on the throne. And there have been dark times before. Read your Bible. Been very dark times. No New Testament. The Romans in control and the suffering of Christians then. God's still in control. And he's coming back, and he's going to set up his kingdom. And we can rejoice in that. Our job right now, get the good news out of salvation. Tell people about Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. That's our hope. We have a great eternity ahead of us. But in the meantime, I think as things get darker, as our caller was talking about, we can shine even brighter as Christians because we have the hope that's in Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, I think time for one more call. Let's go to Raymond in Sulphur Springs, Texas. Good morning, Raymond.
Good morning. Building up on what you just said, you know, I think if you look at this from a biblical point of view, whether it's the LGBT movement, whether it's the impeachment procedure, whether it's anti-Semitism, is all planned part of Satan's plan, you know, to have this one-world government, to have so much chaos that people will turn to the Antichrist for, you know, what would seem like peace. If you look at what's going on in the world, there's something very similar to what President Trump is going through, what's going on in Israel with Benjamin Netanyahu. The left are inventing charges. They're also pandering to an ignorant audience that have really no instruction, no information about the Bible, and about even the facts that are really behind any accusation that is made. And so they're planning to rile up their base. They might know that they won't win the election in the U.S., but I think they're preparing for the longer-term war, you know. And so I know we can win probably these battles right now. The real challenge will be this war after, you know, 2020.
Mm-hmm. I think you're exactly right, Raymond. It's a battle out there, and it's you know, we sometimes frame everything's in politics, but at the very base of it, it is spiritual that's going on in this country right now. And in some ways, I think, Raymond, we appreciate your call. In some ways, it is good that the dark is getting darker because it reveals to us who the real enemy is in all of this. And I think we need that. I think Christians in this country need that kind of wake-up call, that this is spiritual warfare that we're involved with right now. It's truth versus Satan's lies. And we see that being manifested in our political realm, in our media realm, in our education realm, and yes, in our church realm as well. And we have to be aware of that. And we hope shows like Sandy Rios in the Morning help you do exactly that. Give voice to these concerns, but also solutions, as we had our guest this morning talk about. Not only being aware of what's going on, but doing something about it. You still have that power in this country to go to your politicians and say, I don't like what's happening, and you better do something about it because there's another election right around the corner. It's been great to be with you today. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy. More great programming ahead here on American Family Radio on this Wednesday, the 4th day of December. Have yourself a good and blessed day, and be a blessing to someone else. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.